The Federal Emergency Management Agency is changing how it chooses future leaders. FEMA's Leadership Development Program is trying to target employees for promotion that display true leadership skills instead of just a mastery of technical skills. David Robinson is FEMA's Associate Administrator of Mission Support and my guest in the executive suite today, here to explain what those leadership skills look like, how the agency identifies them, and how they'll use them to plan the leadership core of the future at the agency. David, it's terrific to see you. Thank you very much for coming in today. We're about a year out from the selection of the Employee Development Division at FEMA as the 2014 Deming Award winner. So you're the defending champion.
Yes, that's right.
It's great to have you here. Thanks for coming in today.
Delighted to be here.
You and I have spoken off the air about the Individual and Organizational Progressive Leader Development Program.
Yes.
The reason that I think this is important to highlight, and then I'm glad we have a chance to discuss it today, is I speak on an ongoing basis with HR leaders across government in particular, but all kinds of leaders, who talk about the difficulty in identifying leadership skills in employees, putting them on leadership tracks in cases where they're not necessarily the most senior technical employee.
Right.
Give me the thumbnail about how you developed this plan and how you worked around that roadblock that many agencies find.
Well, thanks for that, and thank you again for having me here. This is a pleasure. One of the things that FEMA recognized many years ago was that every employee in FEMA is a leader. At some level, we expect our employees to be expeditionary and be able to operate in remote environments, and therefore they have to lead in just about every situation they find themselves in, whether it's in the office or helping survivors in a disaster. And so then, overlaid to that, we look at our own Federal Employee Viewpoint Survey results, and which have not always been the best. And one of the recurring themes is that employees would like to see more leadership in the agency. So we took that to heart, and we started looking at what are the kinds of things that we expect out of leaders? How can we grow leaders at every level? And we started a few pilot programs, some of which had been in force. And as you mentioned, after a couple of years of doing these programs, we were recognized with the W. Edwards Deming Award for excellence in training and development. We have programs at FEMA for every level, all the way from GS9 all the way up to senior executives. We have six separate programs that target various types of leadership skills, including basic supervisory skills, sort of the mechanics of supervision, which is a whole different type of skill set than just leadership training, you know, communication and things like that. So we put our team of employee development folks on the case of benchmarking Fortune 500 companies, benchmarking other agencies that had leadership development programs, seeing what worked and what didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And we started with a couple of programs. One, for example, the FEMA Emerging Leaders Program, which starts early in the career of a FEMA employee. This is a program that's targeted to GS-12 employees and above. But it's specifically for employees who have been at the agency for less than 2 years. So starting them early in their FEMA career on learning basic competencies of leadership and types of skills that they would need in dealing in leadership situations.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have a number of these kinds of programs that sort of span the career of a FEMA employee.
How much of the identification of candidates is self-selection? I volunteer, that sounds cool, I want to go do that. And how much of it is you and your colleagues and other people, senior officials at the agency saying, that guy would be great, this young lady should be doing this?
Yeah, so we have, there is both, really. I mean, people would nominate themselves to be considered. That doesn't mean they get selected. And so there's sort of a back and forth. A lot of people would self-nominate. And frankly, the leadership team that we have would be looking for those emerging leaders or those future leaders and saying, you need to be in one of these programs and let me encourage you to apply. So it's kind of an application process, and then there's a selection process. So the leadership, the current leadership, gets to weigh in on whether or not they believe the people who have applied have the potential to do well, or who are demonstrating the potential to be leaders in the future. And so it's a little bit of both. And it's nice when they sort of collide.
Take me back to the beginning when you were going through the process of putting up the pilot programs, determining what you wanted to test and how you wanted to test it. What were kind of the elements of what you decided you wanted to look at and just consider before you started to narrow the focus?
So when we were looking at this, we started with our first of these programs was called the Future Leaders Program. And this is a program that's also geared toward GS 9 to 12, sort of that junior to mid-level employee who has been at FEMA for longer than 2 years. So we had some opportunity to observe them. We were looking at trying to give them some foundational knowledge in supervision, but more in the leadership roles, things like relationship building and managing in environments that they're not used to, being able to see broader problems than just being task-oriented, things like that. So that program had originally in fiscal year 12, we had 33 participants of that. Mm-hmm. And an indicator of the success of that has been that about 45% of those 33, about 45% of them have been promoted into higher grades or to in other positions. And I think that's a pretty good success rate when you look at overall in the it's only been a few years since they've taken that and they're already seeing results personally. But FEMA has recognized that they have gained some of those skills mm-hmm. that we're trying to impart and have been able to recognize them and put them in greater positions of greater responsibility.
So math is not my strong suit. You said you had about 45 people in that program.
We had 33 graduates.
33 graduates.
And 15 of which, 15 about 45% have been promoted since that time.
And do we have a sense of how many of those 33 are still with the agency overall, even if they haven't moved up the chain?
I do not know.
What I'm getting at is the idea that folks like that being involved in a program like that, these are exactly the kinds of things that we see with engagement numbers.
Sure.
When somebody like that is identified or identifies him or herself as somebody who's a potential mover and has an opportunity to see that the agency wants to invest in him or her,
right.
That then they say, well, if this is the kind of support I'm going to get, this is the kind of place that I want to be.
Well, as I said, we started that 1 year with that one program, the Future Leaders Program, mm-hmm. and then the success of that it was sort of resounding, not from just the participants, but by the organizations that had those participants. And so we expanded that to include what we call our Emerging Leaders Program. And this is the one that I was telling you about for mm-hmm. brand new FEMA employees, you know, less than 2 years employed at FEMA at about the GS-12 level. We also did something called the FEMA Fellows Program. This is where primarily for GS-13s and 14s, so sort of the next level of leadership, if you will, looking at very much like what you might imagine the Presidential Management Fellows mm-hmm. and those kinds of broader reaching kind of programs where they go on developmental assignments and see things from a different lens mm-hmm. and be able to expand on leadership capabilities at the next level.
How much of that is taking someone, say, I'm just going to pull some stuff out of the sky, somebody that's in financial management, and putting them in something completely unrelated to their general area of expertise in order to get them aware of the needs of serving a cross-agency mission?
In fact, that's exactly what we try to do. Mm-hmm. We the folks in all of these programs have some rotational assignment responsibilities to complete the program. And typically, they're in a completely different organization. Every now and then, if there's a particular project within their organization that they want to focus on that's mm-hmm. outside of their normal day-to-day work, that might be approved as a rotational assignment. But typically, it's outside of their assigned area of responsibility. It's outside of their immediate organization and often in other organizations, either within the Department of Homeland Security or in some cases outside of the department altogether.
It sounds like a terrific way to identify talent for promotion to the senior executive service, too.
Yes. And in fact, one of the things that we added this past year are two other programs as well. One is the Pinnacle program, which we just started this fiscal year. And this is geared at GS-15s, not lower, GS-15s, who are not part of the OPM SES Candidate Development Program, but this is sort of our own helping additional GS-15s who we think have the potential to be executives in their future, to learn fundamentals of executive leadership. And they also, it's a year-long program, they also have the developmental assignments and rotational assignments that they must complete. And focusing, just like the OPM program, focusing on SES core competencies. Then finally, we're just starting, which was not really started, but we're also looking at something we're calling the APEX program. And the APEX is geared at new SES. So, you know, typically the SES in government, at least in my experience, SES in government, they get selected. They've gone through a rigorous process. They might have gone through training that's led them to being able to demonstrate the five core competencies of SES. And then they get in the job and that's it. Mm-hmm. And they don't get much training. And so we're trying to say, what's the follow-on thing? How do we grow them into becoming good SES as opposed to just you pin the cornerstone on, or the capstone, pin the capstone on your lapel and, and you're done. We don't want to say that. We're including in this program things like mentors. We're including coaching, executive coaching. We're including things like that to help continually educate our executives on how to either become or stay or improve their executive skills.
We've talked a little bit about metrics. When we come back, I'd like to discuss that a little bit more so that you can, because we've talked about some of the ways that you've been able to see the results manifest themselves, and we'll do that when we come back from the break. My guest is David Robinson, Associate Administrator of Mission Support, the Federal Emergency Management Agency. Back in a moment on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio. Back on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio. My guest is David Robinson, Associate Administrator for Mission Support at FEMA, and discussing the training programs that bring a higher level of leadership quality to the agency. How do you measure that exactly? And one of the things that I was struck by when we've talked about this off the air, David, is the concept that you want to measure outcomes, not outputs. You don't just want to push X number of people through the program. You want the ultimate goal, as you said earlier in the conversation, is a better cadre of leaders at the agency. So how do you know that you're getting that in order to refine these programs as time goes on, change them up, or maybe even get rid of some that aren't giving you the results that you'd like?
It's a great question. And as you said, I'm a big believer that if we are only looking at the output, like the statistic that I gave you earlier about promotion rates, that's an output. It doesn't necessarily guarantee you have better leaders. It just helps the people who may be interested in these programs to know that there's something in it for them, potentially. It's a very tough thing to measure whether or not you're getting outcomes. One is because if the is very nebulous to say we want better leaders, and how do you judge that? One of the ways that you can judge that is looking over time at your federal your viewpoint survey scores, which we will be doing. But also you can gauge it in things like complaints from, you know, just it's almost anecdotal, but if you have fewer number of complaints that involve, you know, my leader did not or my leader did, then it could be an indicator that you are achieving better leadership outcomes. The other thing that you can measure is you can start to extrapolate the mission results to leadership. I mean, one of the things that it's not just about employee viewpoint survey scores here, it's about getting results. And as you know, one of the SES core competencies is getting results. And in addition, managing change. So how are we teaching leaders at all levels to understand the change environment in which they live? We're certainly in a very dynamic environment. You've alluded to that already. And whether or not we're talking about budgetary change or whether we're talking about mission change or the dynamics of emergency management in a very fluid situations and disaster, are we getting the kind of outputs or the outcomes and results that we need in the work that we're accomplishing? And you could attribute that to better leadership.
When we see the results of something like Superstorm Sandy, obviously a tremendous effort on the part of your agency, did wonderful work to help people recover from that. Is part of the aftermath of that a review on things like this to see how our response was, how our performance was in among the leadership, not just the people who have gone through these programs, but overall? Is that kind of the postmortem that you do? How did we respond and what can we learn about that for the next time?
FEMA has, that's a great question, but FEMA has a very comprehensive after-action review process. It's sort of an ongoing, we're capturing lessons learned as the events are taking place so that later we can come back and analyze them. I don't know that specific leadership aspects were captured in those. Largely they're about the event and what happened in this event and how did we respond.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's a great idea to start thinking about how we can look for those leadership change efforts, if you will, mm-hmm. in the work that we're doing.
One of the reasons that I asked about measures and all of that is I imagine there is a point in time where Mr. Fugate comes to you and says, so why should we do more of this, or why, you know, is this where we should invest our money? Everybody, the budget, of course, is the 800-pound gorilla in the room for every federal agency. Is the budget really the biggest holdup to you being able to scale these programs to include more people and to get more people into these training programs?
Well, certainly budgetary resources are a restrictor into how many you can, what your throughput may be, because they'll dictate how many people you can assign to being the trainers or to manage these programs. Mm-hmm. And there is a limit based on how much money you have to spend on it. However, I will tell you that Craig Fugate cares very deeply, as do the rest of the leaders at FEMA, about developing the future leaders. And so this is one of those things where if we don't train, we can't be ready.
Mm-hmm.
And our job is to be ready. And so we spend a lot of money on training, and leadership development is part of that. We want to build the next generation and the next generation after that of leaders to take over the FEMA programs. Those of us who are in the leadership roles now won't be there forever, and we need to be able to know that there are people behind us who can step into these roles when they need to.
Is there anything about what you're doing in any of these programs, which all sound like they're very well suited for the tasks that you want them to take on, is there anything about any of these that's so unique or proprietary to FEMA that they couldn't work someplace else? Or do you believe that these are all transplantable, that I could take them to some other agency and implement them or something very similar to them and be successful?
I think they're completely repeatable in any agency of government. We have not geared this to be FEMA specific. I mean, so while we have detail and rotational assignment opportunities throughout FEMA for these folks to go, those are the ones that we can manage, control ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
When you start doing rotational assignments outside, you're kind of at the mercy of the other agencies to make those available to you. We can essentially direct that rotational assignments be made available. In fact, in my own office, I've got a number of rotational assignments that I'm advertising to these groups of people to come and help mission support inside FEMA do better at the mission support work. So the programs that we've developed are transportable. You know, they could go to any agency of government. We haven't made them FEMA specific.
What has been your biggest surprise in navigating this, good or bad? That maybe you didn't expect you would get some result, or you didn't expect you would get some reaction or response or whatever as you have gone about rolling all of these out?
My personal biggest surprise has been the very, very positive reaction to these programs by the FEMA workforce. We have had hundreds and hundreds of applications to these, to the few slots that we have available. And the enthusiasm about each of these programs at every level has been just tremendous. And I say it's a surprise to me because in other agencies that I've worked at, It's not always that way. Sometimes if the current leadership environment is one that does not encourage people to seek out these developmental opportunities for whatever reason, then you don't get the same level of enthusiasm. But at FEMA, the current leaders at FEMA support this program fully and are actually encouraging their own employees, recognizing that at some point in time, that means they're probably going to lose that employee.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that we've been trying to do in our hiring, and this goes for leader development, is we're not developing leaders for a particular organization within FEMA. We're developing FEMA leaders, just like we're trying to hire FEMA employees, not for one job, but for FEMA, so that they can be successful in whatever job they tackle. And we expect leaders to be able to move and take on new assignments from time to time. And we want them to not be so pigeonholed into one area of FEMA. They can go across the board.